This morning we continue in our series of renewing our hearts. This morning we want to be thinking about renewing our hearts for fellowship. What is fellowship and why bother? This week on the news was a feature on the launch of a new initiative in Edinburgh that's springing up around the world. It's called Sunday Assembly, and we're going to watch a little clip and see what Sunday Assembly looks like. Looks rather like what's happening here, you may think. The thing that disappointed me was they have cake and coffee. We're just going to have biscuits. It's not a plug, by the way, for Sunday Assembly. We hope to see you here next week rather than there. But it's interesting just to give a little bit of thought to that. Certainly our worship and singing is significantly better, I have to say. The newspaper report said the event is a brazen copy of a church service. As well as emotional and uplifting songs, there was a talk from a woman who had turned her life around by volunteering. Another from a scientist about the human propensity to misperceive reality, and a minute's silence reflection. During a rendering of Dire Straits' Walk of Life, a collection was taken. They're really going for the church approach. So people want to think about improving themselves and helping other people and doing all that in a community where you forge strong relationships. I mean, what a package. Why on earth wouldn't you nick it? Projects designed to appeal not just to atheists, but also to agnostics or the spiritual seekers that churches may find difficult to hold on to. After a final song, nearly everyone stayed for superior tea and cake. The verdict was overwhelmingly positive. I didn't know what to expect, said 120-something woman, but something I've been looking for a while, so I think I'll be coming again. And another said, I've said it before, I wish there was a church I could go to, but I don't believe in God. So quite interesting, I walked down and caught up with my neighbour. He doesn't know that I'm stalking him on the way down on Sunday mornings. He's a creature of habit. And this morning I was with his wife and I was telling him about this new initiative. She says, oh, that sounds really good. Do you like the sound of that? And I'll explain a little bit on what my thinking was on that and what the difference would be. But it's an interesting development, and the question has to be asked, what makes it any different from church? Is it pointless? I would argue, as I've been thinking about the subject this week and this kind of thing that we've been watching, I would argue that there is clearly some value in it. The definition of fellowship in the dictionary is friendship with those who have a common interest. So I guess from a world's perspective, there's clearly fellowship happening here. However, there can be no comparison to what the church is designed to be, because Christian fellowship is something unique, and particularly when we come together in church. When God's people come together, it's with the purpose to worship and glorify Him. And He promises to be with us. If we come just to meet up with others, we miss the point. If we don't engage with God, we fail in the purpose of church. And this initiative is revealing because it clearly shows there's a desire in human beings to be in community, that people are looking for a home. My friends, neighbors this morning were saying that he said, I'll always make a point of saying good morning to people. He says, I'm amazed the amount of people that completely ignore me. He says, people just seem to turn into themselves these days. None of us are created to be on our own. And so many people are lonely in our community. I was reading about the huge amount of drugs for depression that are being given to older people, to old people, just because they're lonely. Even in our churches, people can be lonely. But being in community and having fellowship is God's design. Because from the beginning, God was in community, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then God created human beings in His image so He could have a relationship with them. And then chose His people Israel as His family through which He would bring a blessing to the world, resulting today for us who through faith have that relationship with Him and His people all over the world. And so we thought this morning, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. And this psalm is literally short and sweet. It's the shortest chapter I've ever spoken on, 3 verses. But it brings a recognition that all Israelites were equally children, brothers and sisters in the family of God, whether they were rich or poor, or slave or free, young or old. And that was the unity that they shared together. And the song is singing of what it means to live up to that ideal. As one commentator says, giving depth and reality to the word together. And together is a great word to sum up fellowship, standing together in purpose and focus and unity, and making time to spend together. Recently, I traveled down south with my brothers and their wives and met up with the rest of my family there. And it was so special and made me thankful for a family that gets on so well together. However, for you, maybe the thought of sharing life with your brothers and sisters and family is one that you would run in the opposite direction from. But we all know what the ideal of that could look like. When you sense the presence of God, it is good and pleasant. It's a joyous and happy and beautiful thing. It can even be overwhelming and overpowering at times. I think of the event at Easter, the resurrection at the Usher Hall. It's just quite an amazing experience. And as we meet together too, we sometimes have that special sense of God moving amongst us. And this is what God intends for us when we are in community and in fellowship together. It's something the world may attempt to copy, but will never be able to replicate. The true fellowship of the church is defined by its unity. The diversity we have as a church is a blessing. But for many churches, that level of diversity has led to disaster. To continue to grow, we must continue to strive for the unity of the Spirit. To put aside our own ideas and accept what is best for the whole church. Verse 2 says, it's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. What's the context David's writing about? How does this relate to Aaron's beard, for goodness sake? We read in Leviticus about the historic consecration of Aaron by his brother Moses. It says, then Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. Then there's various bits of clothing that are significantly put on to Aaron at that time. A turban on his head, a gold plate, the sacred emblem on the front of it, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil, anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing the altar and all its utensils, the basin with its stand to consecrate them. He poured some of the oil of anointing on Aaron's head, and anointed him to consecrate him. It was a moment when all God's people came together to witness Aaron's consecration as the first high priest, the one mediator at the time between the people and God. It was a picture of a time of blessing, of great joy, and of celebration. And what do we learn from the unity and fellowship pictures in this short psalm? Like the oil, it's clean and it's pure, and it provides a pleasant aroma with the spices it would have in it. What makes fellowship so special? It's not you or me or how pleasant our perfume or aftershave may be, but about us together and him in our midst that gives an aroma that the world can never know. The oil is sweet, smelling, and precious, and is set aside only for the one who can come closest in God's presence for Aaron. But the Bible tells us that when we are Christ followers, we are all priests because we can come directly into his presence. It says in verse 3, it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Just a wee side comment, interestingly, I read, Hermon is still today known by locals as the old and familiar head of a sheikh, not the sheikh of a head, the head of a sheikh. And there's this kind of continued picture of a head in this psalm because of that. But Hermon is the highest mountain in Israel, and it was known for having a heavy dew that laid on it. A And here we're given a picture of that dew of Hermon, a wonderful, pure source of life in a dry and barren land, like the blessing of God falling on God's holy hill of Zion. Zion is the hill of Jerusalem and represents the city of God where his people dwell. The word Zion occurs over 150 times in the Bible. And as the Bible progresses, the word Zion expands and takes on additional spiritual meaning. In Hebrews we read, "We have not come to Mount Sinai," says the apostle, "but to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." Derek Kidner in his commentary says, "True unity, like all good gifts, is from above, a blessing far more than an achievement." And that's pictured vividly here with the repetition of the running down, falling down as blessing coming from above. I asked a variety of people in church for a sentence on what fellowship meant to them, and it was quite interesting to see the variety of answers. Bev said it was about spending time with people, and we'll return to that idea of spending time later on. Ronan said it was spending time with friends, talking about the Bible and encouraging one another. Gavin said fellowship is a critical aspect of a healthy, well-functioning community. It's about people being or working together for a common purpose. It's close relationships. Fellowship takes different forms and it has different levels. For some people, the thought of fellowship is something really deep and intense. For others, the thought of fellowship is just a fun and joy spent together with close friends. And the truth is that much of fellowship can be relatively superficial, just catching up, chatting with people. But even that's important as it comes from a common goal and purpose in life that we have as God's people. More significant fellowship happens when we're in relationship, in one-to-ones and in small groups. Fellowship's something that takes time and investment in others. And from that investment comes a deeper relationship which can allow for further sharing. So we do fellowship in different kinds of ways as a church. In Acts 2, we read of the early church who learned from God's word together, who worshipped together, who ate together, who shared all they had together, who did life together. The Greek word translated fellowship in the New Testament means essentially a partnership to the mutual benefit of those involved. Christians can't have the identical relationship with those outside the faith. This relationship must be the basis of Christian fellowship. We can have friendships and relationships with unbelievers, but true Christian fellowship can only occur within the body of Christ. We're united to one another by common beliefs and purposes and goals. Our hearts and minds are not to be of this world because we follow Jesus, who said that his kingdom is not of this world. Somebody recently was talking about the challenge of being in community and spending time with people who were not Christians and just how easily conversation and thinking tipped into things that were sinful, basically, and really negative. So different from the way it should be in Christian fellowship. The importance of true Christian fellowship is it reinforces things in our mind, helps us to focus on Christ and his desires and goals for us. The Bible talks about iron sharpens iron. And in true Christian fellowship, Christians sharpen one another's faith and encourage each other to exercise that faith and work and good work and love to God's glory. It's to be a way of life for believers in Jesus Christ, to want to be in each other's company, to share things together and to help and support each other both physically and spiritually. For me, that's why something like the church weekend is such an invaluable opportunity for us as a church. The time that we have there, I worked out, represents about a year's worth of church fellowship on a Sunday crammed into one weekend. And I'm excited at what God will do amongst us in such a short few weeks away. And if you're still swithering on whether to go, there are still a few places for the weekend and still plenty of places for the Saturday to come. So let me plead with you to make the effort to be there for the weekend, and if not, even just for the day on the Saturday, because my memories of church weekend are of that sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God, God's people together in unity in a special way, of honesty and sharing, of friendship and fun and openness to respond to God. However, reality is that may not be heaven on earth for all of us. It may be something like the opposite. But I recognize for some of us, the thought of that can be daunting, and it's outside your comfort zone. But I genuinely believe that God will bless you there. Some may struggle in the big group, but will enjoy the times of quieter conversations that they can have. It pleases God when his people come together. I believe it puts a smile on the face of God. And the unity of his people is glorifying to him. We are his chosen people. We belong to him. As verse 1 said, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Those who believe the gospel are united in the Spirit through Christ to the Father. And that unity is the basis of fellowship. It's described by Jesus in his prayer for his followers, including us. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So there's that complete unity that he refers to as the unity that Christians experience in true fellowship and oneness together with Christ and with the Father. So fellowship is not just for our own good, but it's also a witness to the world. It's to show the world the reality of God's love in our lives and in our community and the difference that makes. Claire said, a place of sharing life with others, learning to love and care and to allow others to love and care for me, being part of the body with a unique gift to offer. Each part is vital to the ongoing health and strength of that community. So fellowship is a two-way thing. If we expect it to come to us, we'll be disappointed. I'm going to ask Norman just to come and share a little bit with us on his journey of fellowship. Norman and Sandy will soon be coming into membership with us. We're glad to have them here. Come a nice welcome, please. Thank you. Good, Norman. We talked a little bit earlier on about church is not about family, but in some ways it is for you. You have some family represented here. That's the word I'm looking
yes,
for.
Yes, I have a
Who's
daughter.
Who's your family?
I have a daughter, Laura, a son-in-law, Chris, and my granddaughter.
Granddaughter.
Good. Yeah, Olivia.
I'm glad you remembered that. Norman, as you look back in your life, what's been important elements of fellowship for you?
Well, I must be honest and say that I've struggled with the fellowship. By nature, I'm one of those private kind of individuals, not given to much small talk, enjoy my own company, enjoy studying, and so on. And yet I find myself irresistibly drawn over the years to Christian fellowship. For I've discovered that it is in community. It's in our shared life together of worship and prayer and serving and having fun together that I encounter God and experience our Lord's presence most often and most directly.
Coming to the church here as a new person, it's not always easy to get integrated into a big church or for people to feel part of a big community of people. So what has that looked like for you?
I have to, I think, thank you for your welcome and for accommodating us and for making that easy for us.
Even though you're from Linlithgow.
Even though I'm from Linlithgow, and yeah.
That stopped him in his tracks. So what's that looked like in practice in the church here for you to find opportunities for fellowship?
In opportunities for fellowship, I felt myself very welcome, very accepted, and I have taken up with the walking group. and things. I wasn't quite expecting this
That's
conversation.
Okay. I thought I'd just throw that to you. people will know I tend to like to do this, because your daughter was telling me, as you said, it's not really been your kind of thing, as you mentioned already, with the kind of character and personality that you have. But you said they've already got plugged in with the walking group.
That's true.
And what else in church life?
Sorry?
Is your daughter?
Oh, yes, the home group. Thank you for the prompt, love.
Well done. It's always great to have family on hand.
Would you like to come up and work me from the back? Yes, we've joined the home group, and that's been terrific. I've been most welcome there, and found a great sense of the Lord's presence in that group, and a real sharing of life, a real openness. And I thank the house group members for that.
That's good. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I was going to share with you.
You've only got 2 minutes.
Two minutes now.
And you've got a lot of notes.
Yeah. Well, let me just give you one kind of what was for me a very potent and seminal example of just encountering the Lord's experience through other people. It happened several years ago. My wife and I were visiting our teenage son in the Western the day after he had undergone an emergency operation to remove a life-threatening brain tumor. As we prepared to go, his young sister was absolutely determined to come with us, and we tried to persuade her not to. And then when that failed, we tried to prepare her for what she might see when she got there. All to no avail. So like Alexander the Great before her, she came, she saw, she fainted. Minutes later, I was sitting outside the ward when she was asking me if her brother would be okay, obviously looking for some comfort and some reassurance from me. As I was sort of struggling to put words together that kind of reflected the reality of the situation and would offer some comfort, I was conscious of a guy entering the area where we were sitting, and really exasperated when he sat down right opposite us and became sort of privy to our whispered conversation. The last thing I needed as I fumbled for the right words was an audience. I got as far as, Philippi, at which point he leaned over and gently inquired if we're talking about Philippi. And I was absolutely startled. I didn't know him from Adam. I said it was. And he explained he had been visiting a friend in the hospital and had lost his way in the way out, and had just remembered his promise to pray for Philip Aiken. He had heard about him through the house group. After a short exchange and one of these awkward men hugs, we parted company, and I never saw my brother in Christ again. But the miracle for me there wasn't one of synchronicity or the marvel of God's providential care or sovereignty in human affairs. But the miracle that saturated my Christian life and has meant so much for me is a miracle of fellowship. When a moment of genuine human contact becomes a moment of an encounter with our loving Father, receiving his joy, his support, his direction, his blessing, his enriching of our lives through others. And on this occasion, and this moment, it gave a moment of an answer to my daughter's question. I found that the Lord's promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, I'll be there, works as well in the hospital corridors as it does in the supermarket or in the walking group as it is in gathered church. And I can't do without it, despite my nature. I need it. I've been created, as we've heard, for fellowship. Our fellowship in the Spirit, as we've heard, delights the heart of God, for it reflects something of his very being. It's part of what it means to be human. It's part of what it means to be created in the image of God. And it's something I better get used to, because there's more of it coming in the resurrection, in our life after death. So how do I prepare my heart for fellowship? Well, I continue to struggle to embrace my vulnerabilities, my humanity, my limits, and so on the one hand. And on the other hand, to strive to become more open, to strive to become more available, more loving, more forgiving, and accepting of others for the fellowship's sake. And I thank you for your welcome and for you making that kind of easier for me as I've met with you and joined with you in the house group, in the walking group. And I think that is it, yes. Thank you, daughter.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was great. Thanks very much. In the world, they would just drop the mic and walk off after that. That's very good. Thank you. I'll explain that reference to you later if you don't know what it means, Norman. We think about time, and time is one of our greatest assets. How we will spend it. Well, we spend it in selfish ways, seeking pleasure and entertainment, enjoying our lives, so will we invest it in others? It's an asset that runs away quicker than we can imagine as we grow older. Is that right, Leslie? It is. And soon it will be used up in this world until we move into a world where there is no more time and fellowship is eternal. We cannot experience fellowship on our own. So God's word tells us, as we heard just there, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Because some habits are good habits, and to make a habit of meeting together is something good. Perhaps controversially, I believe it's not God's plan for us to find the fulfillment of our fellowship exclusively within our own families or marriages. Our family and our eternal family is the family of God. And that's not to say that we neglect our families or marriages for church and others, as many have done perhaps in the past, and quite probably many of our parents at times. Family is a key responsibility and area of care and fellowship with others. Marriages are important, but they are not eternal. There's no marriage in heaven. So I would argue that God intends us to invest significantly in what is eternal, worshipping him and loving one another here as his people, as in heaven. The Bible tells us that if we are God's children, we are to love one another, to carry each other's burdens and to share what we have with each other. To serve together is another area of fellowship. Being part of a team, whether it's the craft group or the worship team or the kids' church or the youth church, we don't do things in isolation. I wonder if you have an outward-looking life. As my neighbour was saying this morning, people are turned in today on ourselves. And it happens often in churches too. We need to plan in fellowship. It might mean simply going together to eat at Conifox after church, though other eating establishments are available, even though my son works there. It's a very simple thing to do. To do things together as individuals and families, which we need to do anyway, and will benefit from and don't need to make extra time for in a busy week. Many people find that sharing a meal or coffee and cake is a key element to foster fellowship. The interest groups are starting to happen. The games group for adults meets this Wednesday. Table tennis group has met, cinema group, walking group, book group. There are others like cycling, photography, and kids' games hopefully coming soon. There's so many ways to get involved and do what you love together with others. And it's shown that people make time for what they love. So let us put that into practice, obeying God and loving others. As I've said in the past, Sunday services used to be a primary place for fellowship, but as the church has grown, that is no longer the case. And interestingly, during our time of repeat services, one of the positives was that many people felt we had more space and time to have fellowship with others. Some people kind of feel that they should know everyone well in church, but we have to be realistic and acknowledge that can't happen in a group of nearly 300, and neither should we expect it to be the case. One of the feedbacks from the recent survey was a realization that to overcome the problem of not seeing other people at church, you just need to come for tea and coffee in the middle and come to second service. You'll see everyone. It's quite a simple thing for us to do, to catch up with others. We can get to know some people. We've heard about home groups, and they are key for our development and growth as individuals and as a church. Many of us are not yet in a home group. And if you're not in a home group, let me encourage you to make it a priority. It will be good for you as an individual and for your family as you grow in your walk with others and with God and become more like Christ. It's the primary place for fellowship. And if you're not plugged in there, you're missing out. And so we've given some thought to renewing our hearts for fellowship. I want to come back to that word together. I believe it's the key word that God is saying to us as a church today. If you are not together, the body is weakened. We need each other to play our part. However significant or insignificant we feel we are, we all have a significant part to play in this body. It encompasses unity and common goals and purposes and serving and worshiping together. We are together on these things, physically being together. Spending that limited resource of time together is a wonderful investment in the kingdom of God, doing life together. Are you together with others this morning? Maybe we need to shake off any negativity or lethargy that we may feel and make the effort to grow in our fellowship with one another. Please take the opportunities to engage in the life of the church here, even if it means going to see Mamma Mia this week, or even better, coming on the same night to do some work together in a work party in the church here that needs to be done. There's no negative connotation to true fellowship. It will build us up, and it will build up the church and the kingdom of God. And in all of this, he is glorified. May we be a people who are known for loving one another in true fellowship, and that through that, being a witness to the world. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer, I pray that you'll have had a small sense of that precious nature of the fellowship of God's people. If you want to know more about following Jesus, speak to me at the end or come for prayer. The prayer team are here. Please come and pray. Be prayed for as you go into the next week. We all can benefit from prayer, even just a small blessing, a short blessing. Please take that opportunity. If you have any concerns or weights that you carry, bring them to God this morning, and we can continue forward together in unity and in fellowship together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this short chapter that is so precious, that reminds us how good and pleasant it is when your people live together in unity. Help us to be like that. Help us to make time, to spend time with others, to be outward looking, to encourage and to build up one another. Thank you for our young people who are such a great example of this, who've just gone from Maranatha to Soul Survivor, and just pray for your blessing on them and their fellowship together, protection over them and unity for them, that they may be an inspiration to us. So we give you thanks for all that you give us, for giving us each other, for being part of your body. In Jesus' name, amen.